Welcome to the Culture Curators Podcast. We're here to share insight, information, and resources to help you become a more effective salon business owner. Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to be speaking about the loneliness of salon ownership. Let's face it, I think that all of us have experienced some loneliness as a business owner, right?
Ain't that the truth?
For sure, yeah.
It's hard, man. I mean, you listen, you don't know what you don't know, right? And I think that when you first, we were just talking about this before we started. It's like when I first opened my salon, what I thought and what actually happened, there's just like an oh shit moment. Like, what did I just get myself into? Like, can I chew as much as I just bit off? And there's so many moving parts. There's so much to understand. And especially when you come from being a hairdresser that's behind the chair only, and that's everything you knew about, like salon operations, everything you knew about it was client interaction, yeah. Not the behind the scenes and the challenges and the difficulties of personnel management and things like that.
Right. You know, listen, I was in management for years before I had the opportunity to purchase the salon that I owned. And honestly, after I made my final decision to be the salon owner, the new salon owner, I remember thinking to myself, how different could it be? I already managed the salon. I've already been managing it for X amount of time. It can't be that different. And boy, was I mistaken.
What was the biggest difference between management and ownership? Like, what hit you the hardest?
The responsibility. The responsibility to know that I had a team of people relying on my leadership, relying on clients coming in the door. And although that didn't change from the day before I became the owner, it was somebody else's responsibility. Mm. So it did change because it became very heavy on my shoulder, the responsibility. It was identifying and really understanding the numbers, the profit and loss statement, and how that impacts directly the success of the business or lack thereof. Just the overwhelming responsibility of the entire business,
yeah.
Now resting on my decisions.
Yeah, I hear that, man. And you know what it is too. It's real. I think I'm thinking about this as like I kind of went through it, and it's like, especially when you do a build out, like you kind of think once you finally get over the build out hump and it's like built, like the hard part's over, and like it couldn't be further from the truth. Like that's not the hard part. There's hard moments of the build out, no doubt, and it's expensive and it's stressful, but a lot of people get really wrapped up in like the decor and the, you know, the look and the aesthetic, but it's honestly a small component of what's about to happen once those doors open. And I liken it to like having kids. Like I have young kids, and when my wife was pregnant, I knew my life was about to change and I knew that it was going to be a lot of work, but then the babies come and it's just more than you could ever fathom of what it would be, good and challenging.
Right.
And I think with a salon, it's like, again, you don't know what you don't know. And it can get lonely. You know, they say it's lonely at the top, and I don't mean it that way. It's more in the sense that when you're the sole owner and the responsibility falls on you, you're the one that is laying up at night wondering about like tomorrow morning's direct deposit and making sure there's enough money in the account. When sales are down or when people are leaving, you're dealing with the challenges of it. You know, all of those things fall directly and squarely on your shoulders. When you're in the middle of a client and then someone else is having a challenge in the salon with a client or with the situation, you have to handle that. It's a part of your responsibility as the owner, and it can get incredibly overwhelming. It can be incredibly stressful. And if you don't grab a hold of structure and systems right away, like within the first few months, it can quickly spiral. I mean, I remember I had a designer for the first one, which was a big mistake, which is probably a topic for a different day. But she was like, okay, we're going to put your office here. And I was like, why would I need an office? Like what would I need to do in an office? I'm a hairdresser. I do hair, man. What do I need an office for? And we ended up not putting an office in it because there was no space. But I didn't know how much back-end stuff was going to go into it and how non-fun that stuff is and how hard it is and how much you have to learn and who you have to become in so many different ways. That's where it's like, whoa, this is like, it's just way more than I ever expected.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it reminds me when people decide that they're going to open up a salon or they're going to build this amazing salon, I think that the focus is so much on the design and the decor. I think it's so much on a ton of money that people spend. I know people that have spent multi-million dollars opening up their business. And what we forget is once that business is open, how are we going to run it?
Right.
What is the structure? Do I have the systems in place, or am I so concerned about the $1,000 sofa that I'm going to put in versus having a job description?
Right.
Or expectations set? And then, you know, we find business owners that have a tendency to friend certain team members or all team members, and then they're the sounding board, so to speak, where they go to them and they share their complaints or their concerns or their struggles, whether it's about a bill or about a promotion or about another employee.
Right.
And that we have to remember as business owners, those complaints don't go down the chain. They actually only go up the chain.
Right.
And so then as the business owner, who is it that you can talk to? Yeah. Who is it that you can share those frustrations, those challenges, those upsets with without going down that chain?
Yeah, that's why coaching is, you know, so key, because it's like that's your sounding board, and that's like an appropriate sounding board. A lot of times, like, you know, we always say this, your clients aren't your friends, your team members aren't your friends, my kids aren't my friends, I'm their parent. If I have a team member, I can be friendly with people, I can of course have relationships with them, but there has to be a boundary that creates a clear delineation between yourself as owner and then people as team members, because when those lines get blurred, it's that much harder to have structure and clarity. And when you don't have clarity in the very beginning, what ends up happening is it's going to catch up to you at one point. So now you're trying to clean up a mess as opposed to kind of starting it off on the right foot. And a lot of us don't know how to start it off, and that's okay, but there's so many resources out there to help you. And that's why you need to be willing to reach out for help. Because a lot of times we feel like because we're reaching that pinnacle of the career where we're opening the door, we're an owner now, we're a boss, or, you know, whether you're opening up a suite or, you know, obviously here we're talking about opening up a commission-based salon with actual employees. It's a whole different dynamic. It's a completely different dynamic. And understanding the structure that needs to happen, whether it's the way that your compensation structure looks like, whether it's the way that you're going to, you know, price things. And again, like you were talking about, like the build out thing, how people get so caught up in that. It's almost like the way people get caught up in the wedding, but don't focus enough on the marriage.
Right.
You know, and that's the same thing that happens with salon owners. It's like we get so caught up on the sexiness of like the design and the beauty of it, that if you're just focusing on that and you're not building the infrastructure from within, and the backbone of the business, that is its personnel and its systems and its culture, you know, you have to start that from jump. And there are ways to correct it if you've kind of gone astray, but it is harder to do, just like it's always harder to kind of clean something up. They always say it's harder to get in shape than stay in shape. It's the same thing with your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned about coaching, which, you know what, you need to align yourself with experts, people that have been there, done that, walked through the journey that you're about to embark on. And it's probably an unpopular thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyways. You have to be very, very careful where you choose to get your advice from.
Yeah. That's for sure.
And I see it all the time. I see it all the time on social media. Hey, I'm opening up a salon. What do you think my compensation structure should be? Well,
yeah, and like a big group post.
A huge group post, and there will be like 100 comments on it, and everybody has a different opinion. And here's the bottom line. You have to have the structure, the compensation structure, I'm just using that as an example, that works for your business, right, in your culture, and what works down the road doesn't necessarily work for you. We know that there are certain guidelines, for instance, with this example of compensation, but I just think that the more important message is be very, very careful of who you ask advice from, and what you take as the gospel truth, because there's a lot of stuff out there. There's even a lot of stuff if you Google it, and some may be really great for you and some may not.
Yeah, and that's very true.
You have to discern.
And I think that's a part of the loneliness of it. You know, it's like you're the one that has to, you're like kind of judge, jury, executioner,
that's exactly,
you know,
what it is.
It's like you have all of those things. And sometimes it's like, it's just a little bit too much power to have, you know, where every decision, there's so much weight to it. And that's why for me, like, the smartest thing I ever did in the beginning was be like, okay, I don't know what I don't know. I need help. Like, I need help from people that have been there, done that, that have experience. And honestly, whether you end up coaching with us or you coach up with anybody else, it's not about like who you pick. Well, it is, but I just mean in the sense of like, it's just finding the right fit for you and your brand. And I think that's a big part of like, kind of helping yourself through it and helping yourself through the loneliness, because it gets less lonely when, you know, when I had you as a coach, it's like much less lonely because now I'm having a challenge and I know that, well, I have scheduled calls. There's a scheduled structure. There's someone that has been there, done that, that can help me, help guide me. And doesn't mean that your coaches and you are going to agree all the time or whatever the case may be, but it does mean that you're going to be able to have a sounding board that's going to give you a, you know, an objective viewpoint sometimes where you can't see it. And that's a big part of the business, because we say keep emotion out of the business, but we know for a fact that we're human beings in a business, right? So there's going to be emotion that you have to manage and learn how to work around and not make decisions based within that emotion. And a lot of times for me, the loneliness is definitely when it feels like all the fingers are pointed at you. It feels like you're expected to have all the answers when you also feel like you have to automatically answer or respond. And I've learned over time that it's okay to say, you know what? That's a great question. I don't have the solution or the answer for you right now, but what I will do is work on it and promise you that I'll get back to you in the next X time. And give yourself like enough time that it's realistic for you. And what I've always said to team members is like, listen, it's easy to identify the challenges and the problems. I know what the problems are. So it's not necessarily about the problems. It's about talking about the solutions collectively together. And I think you as a salon owner, you have the responsibility to set the type of culture and the type of communication in your brand that creates a healthy environment for everyone. And you have to then also manage that with your team. And that can be a really big challenge. I mean, and not to mention if you're also, most of us hairdressers or owners are also still doing hair.
Right.
So now you're still managing that on top of all the other things we're talking about.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you have to make every single decision on your own. It doesn't mean that you can never go to your team for input. In fact, I think it's really valuable to enlist the thoughts and ideas of your team.
Absolutely.
You want to be careful on what you bring to them.
Right.
But I think that they, you know, having a room filled with people, there's a lot of brilliance in that room versus being on your own, being on your own little island. And so an example, I don't know, might be a dress code.
Right.
You know, what do you guys feel like you want the dress code? It doesn't mean that you're going to accept all their answers or do everything that they suggest, but it may spark an idea, a thought, or they may have something brilliant that you're like, oh yeah, I'm totally in. I'm totally going to buy into that. And you know, one of the most freeing moments that I ever had was when I had my very first business coach, and she told me that I didn't have to have all the answers.
Hmm.
And I remember sitting in team meetings.
You
and
told
they
me
would
that
ask,
too. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. They would ask me a question and I would feel like my hands were up and I was backed against the corner and I had to come up with an answer immediately. And when she really shared with me, no, you don't. You actually can ask permission to have time.
Right.
And if you think you can get the answer in 24 hours, tell them 48 hours.
Right.
You know,
give yourself a cushion,
give yourself a little cushion, give yourself an opportunity. But what's really most important is the fact that you're just real and you're honest with them. And it's a great question. It's a great thought. It's a, I get the challenge. I don't have the solution. I don't have the answer right now, But with your permission, I'd like to get back to you within 48 hours, 72 hours, whatever it is. Right. And I've never heard of a team being like, oh no, I want an answer right now.
Right. And I mean, this, I'm telling you, every single time that I've had like a reactionary answer, I've regretted it like almost instantly. And then what happens is if you go back on what your answer is and now you have to like change your mind, you lose credibility, especially when that happens over and over and over again. Like your team stops trusting you. Yeah. And that's dangerous. And that's also a part of like the loneliness of it. You know, like does your team trust you and have you earned the credit? Have you built the credibility that earns the trust?
Yeah. Yeah. That's one way to be on an island all by yourself is to not have the trust of your team. It's a very lonely place. And let me tell you, I've done research on it. And I know for a fact that if your team doesn't trust you, it's a horrible feeling.
Yeah.
It's a very, very lonely feeling. So let's talk about some ways. We know that obviously coaching is one way that you can not feel so alone, that you can not walk the journey all by yourself. Right. There was a period of time in my ownership where I really felt alone and I felt like I was walking the journey completely alone because I didn't think anybody else had the problems that I had in my business. And when I took the chance or the leap of faith and shared, I found out I wasn't alone.
Yeah.
That I did have peers that could relate to me. I wasn't necessarily going to them for an answer, but just to be able to sit down and have a conversation and just be relatable. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest things that I found out was, you know, there were four salons within my mall, basically, and we weren't enemies. We weren't even competitors. We all were going for different clientele, for different team members. So why not talk with them? Why not go out and have a coffee, a tea, a glass of wine with them, and just have someone that you can share what's going on, not expecting an answer, not expecting anybody to fix it, but just to be able to share and have someone to relate to.
Yeah. And when you can relate to people, you know, they can, you can also like kind of exchange ideas and you might catch a nugget that's like, wow, I didn't think about that. That's something I really should do. I would love to do that. That makes perfect sense. And I think another a great idea when you're feeling that loneliness is you got to get outside of the box of the salon you work in. Those four walls that start closing in on you, you got to get yourself out and into the bigger part of the industry and around other people.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is to step outside of your comfort zone. So, you know, I remember many, many years ago, like I didn't know how to change it. All I ever did was do hair behind the chair and in the box I was in. Like I wasn't a part of the bigger industry. So there was one year I remember I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just look at the calendar, look at the four major shows in the year, whether it was New York at that time, Premiere. The one in California, in the ISSE, which is now I think Anaheim. Obviously New York, Chicago, and Orlando. And I was like, I'm going to go. I'm just going to attend. I don't know who I'm going to talk to. I was going alone.
Yeah.
You know, on my own dime and just be there. And I remember sitting in the lobby, like by the bar or whatever, having a drink. And inevitably, obviously, other hairdressers are in that same bar, that same lobby. And you just kind of start striking up conversations. And it's like, I remember feeling so like enriched by those conversations and by complete strangers that were from all over the country that we're all kind of fighting the same fight, you know?
And doesn't matter.
That relatability is very valuable.
It's huge. And no matter if you're in Canada, or you're in the United States, you're in the Philippines, we all have the same problems. And I love what you said about attending shows because there's a lot of free education out there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of business education out there. And if you go to a class at one of the shows and it's a business or it's for leadership or ownership, I promise you there's going to be other owners and leaders. And what I love about that are those are people who are investing in themselves. Those are people who want to become better. Those are the people that you want to align yourself with. And yep. So being able to introduce yourself and just share a little bit, you never know where that conversation is going to be. I remember I went to a salon training, and this was years and years and years ago. I got partnered with someone, and she's either from New Jersey or New York, one of the two. I think she's from Long Island, actually. New York. And I'm still friends with her. And it's just because she was a business owner. I was a business owner. We both had salons. We were at an event together. We got partnered together. And this has been probably 20 years ago.
Wow.
And I still connect with her.
That's awesome. I also think, you know, this, you got to be real with this. You're not getting educated on the salon. I'm going to tell you this right now. You're not getting educated on the show floor. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
That's not,
not
where you're learning, no. Right? Like the show floor is the fanfare. It's the noise. It's the, you know, you can be inspired clearly on the show floor. You can also be overwhelmed and kind of like a little bit irritated too. So yep. I think it's like going into a show with a plan. It's looking at, you know, what classes are available that are free or that you need to pay for ahead of time. And I'm not talking this in this scenario. We're not talking about technical classes. We're talking about education classes that are going to help you on the business side. Mm-hmm. There's so much. We were at IBS New York yesterday, and there's a ton of classes you can sit in on, and you can plan your day to be a part of for an hour, hour and a half, and just get really valuable information. And again, other people that are in that room are seeking that same type of information. Yeah. So you never know who you connect with, and you never know what relationships you build that can really help you on this kind of lonely journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, the bottom line is there's no reason to be lonely. There's always a lifeline out there.
Yeah.
You have to determine what your lifeline is. Is it a business coach? Is it a peer? Is it somebody from a different state? Is it going to a business education seminar? Is it going to a show and then going to the after party? Whatever it is,
Right. Get
out of the four walls of your business, like Derek said, and really reach out, because there's no excuse.
Yeah.
There really is no excuse. There is a plethora of help out there and people to talk to. And so go out there and find it. It would be my message.
I agree. Amen to that. And listen, you can always reach out to us, send us a DM. Yeah. You know, if you ever have any questions, you can always reach out. We're always a phone call or a DM away. So the reality is that there's so much resources out there. You just have to partake and choose, you know, choose to ask for help.
There you go.
And choose to get yourself around the right people.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that wraps up this episode.
Yeah. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Culture Curators Podcast. Please like, comment, follow, and subscribe.